just going to take off my fleece real quick. So open up to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. So I was bouncing around a few ideas for this message. And we started an app group on this WhatsApp thing. Anybody familiar with WhatsApp? Yeah. And we have this app, we have this group where we're bringing out the word together to each other daily, trying to encourage each other, you know, to provoke one another in love and good works, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10. And it's really great. And the other day, we brought out this portion of scripture, and I was reading it in the Amplified, so I'm going to do that tonight. A portion that I've seen many times, but I've never read it, I don't think, in the Amplified. Sorry, let my phone work for a minute. So the book of 2 Timothy, and my dad brought out the Bible, the way it was written, and it was written by men moved by the Holy Spirit, but we see their personality in the words in a lot of ways. You know, in 1 Peter, when it talks about being clothed with humility, the word picture there is actually, it brings him back to when Jesus clothed himself with the servant's towel and washed their feet, and that's the word picture played out there. So you see some of these things in the way people talk. The way people write things out, we can see some of their experiences come out. And it's really amazing to watch. And I love Paul's relationship with Timothy. Paul, the way he speaks to Timothy, the way he writes to Timothy, the amount of really care that he had for this young man. He was a teenager when he met up with Paul in Lystra, traveled the world with Paul, the known world at that time. Went to Philippi, was part of the church planning team in Philippi, Thessaloniki, planning churches with Paul. Paul leaves him in Ephesus, pastor of Ephesus. That's a pretty awesome church to be a pastor of, right? And so moving around, and now this, at the end of Paul's life, the very last book, the inspired book that Paul wrote, the very last book was written to Timothy. The very last things that he said, the last charge that he gave to Timothy is recorded here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it was Paul looking out to his disciple. He calls him his dearly beloved son in the first chapter, which is agapetos, his deeply beloved son, this man that he discipled, that he brought up from a youth, that he watched grow underneath him. And this is coming out, and we see in 2 Timothy, even from the first chapter, we see Paul really speaking to him on a very personal level, to be a good soldier of Christ, to neglect not the gift that is within you. You know, like all these things that Paul is saying specifically to Timothy. And then in chapter 4, we have Paul knowing that he was going to die, knowing that he was being a drink offering spent out, and it says in verse 6, I am ready to be an offered, like a drink offering. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. So we see this. So to really look at it in a way that this is Paul really giving the last charge to his disciple. And this is Paul. This is what he thought was important to give to Timothy at the end. And it was in verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read it in the Amplified, and it's really amazing. He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word as an official messenger. Be ready when the time is right and even when it is not. Keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. Correct those who err in doctrine or behavior. Warn those who sin. Exhort and encourage those who are growing toward spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenges them with God's truth. But wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors that they hold. And will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off into myths and man-made fictions and will accept the unacceptable. But as for you, be clear-headed in every situation, Stay calm and cool and steady. Endure every hardship without flinching. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill the duties of your ministry. And I thought that was really amazing the way it's written. And the Amplified amplifies the Greek, really. It goes into the original language a little bit more, a little bit deeper, and amplifies it out for us. People like Vines, that wrote Vines Expository Dictionary, contributed to the Amplified. So here, the last charge of Paul, he says, I charge you before God in Christ that you would preach the gospel, that you would preach the word, that you would have this sense of urgency of the word of God, that you would grab it, grab hold of it, to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Because, you know, the time will come where we kind of just want to hear what we want to hear. That's what, like, and we see that in our current age, and we see Paul saying the time will come in 2 Timothy. If the time will come 2,000 years ago, I think we're pretty much there nowadays. You know, like, I think we've kind of progressed past the time will come stage. And we have this, the time has come, where people just want to hear what they want to hear. And, you know, we're living in the age of participation trophies and attaboys, and where everybody just wants the affirmation. And it's good, you know, it's good. I have football participation trophies at home. My son uses it to, we'll have competitions, and the winner gets my Pop Warner trophy when we have the competitions. He usually wins the competitions because, you know, I'm doing what I'm preaching against right now, I guess. So giving him the affirmation that I probably shouldn't give him. But what was that? We've owned Wyatt's name before in FIFA competitions. That's a whole other story. We want to hear what we want to hear. We want our ears tickled sometimes. You know, like, we don't want the hard sayings of the word. We don't want, like, the word to really start penetrating us and revealing to us, like, shining a light in us and saying, "Hey, like, this is what's going on in your life. It's time to get serious about this." We don't want that. I mean, I'm speaking for myself. I don't mean to say we as a group. I'm saying I, you know, like, in my heart of hearts, in my soul, like, I gravitate towards, like, oh, I don't want the hard sayings. I want the easy sayings. I want the good things. God is love. I love that verse. I love that verse. God is love. God is holy. I don't know, you know, because I know I'm not holy. But to go forward and to really look at the objective word of God, the objective word of God, to say, this is what God says. So thinking about this, I was thinking about subjectivity and how, like, and I know I've preached on this before, but thinking about, like, going through the Old Testament, going through the word, and looking at, like, the occurrences of subjectivity, and we go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, you know, and we look at what Eve did. So we can turn there really quick in Genesis chapter 2. Or 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And this is the beginning of, like, of the need to, of the subjective for Eve. The fall of man in verse 5, starting in verse 5, this is Satan speaking. For God knows that in the day that you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And she also gave it to her husband and he did eat. So Eve looked at it. She saw that it was pleasant. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. And she desired to be wise. So she had these thoughts, these desires, and she said, I know what God said, but did he really? So she altered God's word for her own soul's sake, for her own desires. She made this desire, she made this action out of her desires. She chose based on her feelings. She chose based on her own internal concept of her own internal desires. So that's what Paul was warning about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, to warn against this, because we have the word of God. And we were listening to an intro to theology class a few weeks ago, and Pastor Schaller picked up the Bible, if I can pick up my Bible, and he held it up here. And you know, like to have the Word of God over our head, where we are looking up to the Word of God, where the Word of God, like, I know that I don't operate completely 100% according to the Word, but I know that if I don't, the Word of God is correct. I know that this is the standard, and that my feelings and my thoughts and my desires and my hopes and my dreams, that's not the standard. This is the standard. The Word of God being over me, the Word of God being an authority over me, and to not operate in my feelings and to not operate based on the way I think things should be, but to say, God, you know my heart. You know what's inside of me. I know that you desire truth in the inward parts in Psalm 51:6. I know that you desire that. Teach me your word. Teach me to live according to your word. Teach me deeper. And to not choose based on the feeling good, but to choose based on what is God's mind concerning me. And that's how we grow in this world. That's how we grow in spirituality. If we really want spiritual life, to really want the spiritual life, we operate underneath the Word of God being over us, the doctrine being over us. And I love that doctrine. And we brought out in the offering message that in Maine, however many years ago, you know, doctrine was promoted. Categorical doctrine is a word that we're used to in this ministry with Pastor Stevens. Categorical doctrine, categories in our soul, building us up, teaching us deeper, knowing that I can grow and I can know God based on categories in my soul, categories of doctrine, raising me up. So back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 5, and this is Paul saying, others are going to turn away. Others are going to go somewhere where like that makes them feel good. Others are going to go away wanting their ears tickled. But in verse 5, but you, and King James says, but watch thou, but you watch, but you keep a level head. Like they're going to do this, but you have to teach them. And I know that we're not all called here to be pastors. This is a pastoral epistle. And Paul was very literally speaking to a pastor here. But I think we all need this, right? All of us need to watch in all things. To watch, to be sober is there. It's nepho in the Greek. To be sober-minded, to be calm, to be able to see it like without reaction, to not be reactionary, to react in our emotions is such a dangerous thing. But to really sit below the Word of God and say, okay, I'm going to watch. I'm going to be sound-minded. There was a charge in a few verses in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 56 and Jeremiah 6, where the watchmen weren't watching. The watchmen, in Isaiah 56, it says they've turned dumb. They're blind and dumb. They're like dumb dogs, I think it said, or sleeping dogs in Isaiah 56. Sleeping dogs, they're sleeping on the job, they're not watching. In Jeremiah 6, he says, I've called watchmen to say it, but they're not speaking. The watchmen aren't speaking. And here, at the end, like the end times passage for Paul, he's saying, Timothy, you have to watch. You have to be on guard here. Because back then, the watchmen weren't on guard, but you, being spirit-filled, being spirit-led, to operate under the Word of God, know the Word of God, to endure the sound doctrine. And this passage kind of begins in 3:16, where he talks about all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is God breathed. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. And not perfect as in sinless, but perfect as in mature, complete, ready for this life, to be equipped. Really, completely equipped for this life. We are only equipped when we get the Word. We are only equipped when we learn the Word of God, to really know the Word of God, as David said in Psalm 119, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. Oh, how I love the doctrine, how I love it. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I will not sin against thee. You know, like David said, Psalm 119 is a great portion to study. To study for our lives, like the Word of God, the importance of the objective Word of God, to be objectively look at the Word, to go forward in the Word of God, because subjectivity and operating based on our feelings always leads us astray. It'll always lead us to something else. If something feels good, I'll go this way. And if it feels a little bit weird, then maybe I won't go that. But maybe that's where God is leading us, you know? If we look at the Old Testament and some of the things that happened, we look at Saul, right, when he offered a sacrifice. And he shouldn't, if he knew the word, if he lived according to the word, he wouldn't have offered that sacrifice. But in his heart, he reasoned. He made up this thing in his mind, like, I know, like, yeah, no, I can. The prophet said he was going to be here. He's not here yet. We need a sacrifice because God needs to help us here. So I'm just going to do it. You know, and then as he did it, he sees the prophet coming over the ridge. You know, like, but reasoning is so, it's so easy to reason inside of ourselves. It's so easy to say, maybe God hasn't called me to this. Oh, I know that I should forgive them, but in my heart, I can't forgive them. You know, like, you ever been there? Like, we've all been there. But, you know, that's a commandment of God. Like, forgive others, to forgive, to love others as God has loved us. That's hard. It's impossible, right, beside the grace of God. But to say, I can't do it, but I trust you. It's so hard, but I trust you. I trust your grace. I trust your mercy. I trust that you'll lead me through to this next phase in my life. If I follow in faith obedience, if I look to the word as my authority, if I look to the Holy Spirit as my guide, as leading me, I trust that God will lead me deeper into this walk. So to be led according to the word, to grab hold of this word, the word, and also in verse 5 says, watch in all things, endure afflictions. And in the Amplified, it says to endure every hardship without flinching, to endure. When we know the word of God, when we like are sure, like we heard on Sunday, that God loves us, when we're sure of the love of God, and we brought this out of like a kid sitting in the deep, or the father in the deep end, holding out his arms to his son, saying, jump, I love you, I'll catch you, you can trust me, I love you, these are my words, for the son to apply that and say, and leap. You know, like it's us trusting God. It's God saying in his word, you can trust me. You can trust me. You can endure the hardships. You can do this. You can look to my word and I will hold you. But until we take that leap off the edge of the pool, we're not going to know it. We can know it in word. But to really leap, to really know in the hardships that God will help me, that I don't need to flinch. I can move forward. I can put my foot forward, take the next step in my call, because God is my Father and He loves me. He actually loves me. And I love in 1 Peter chapter 5 where it says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That means a little bit more to me than just saying, oh, God loves me. Like, but that He actually intrinsically cares about me, like deeply cares about me. He cares about my well-being. He cares about the decisions that I make. He actually, like a father looking at me, really cares. And God cares. And I can rest in that, knowing that God cares for me. He actually cares for me. He cares for me when I walk away. You know, he'll correct me, you know. Like, the correction of the Lord is so gracious. The correction of the Lord is so gracious that we can love correction and love when God speaks the things that hurt a little bit. Knowing that He loves us, He cares for our soul. But cast all your cares upon Him. And in the Greek there, it's cast once and for all. Cast them and don't look back tomorrow, because they're already cast. All of our cares are cast on the Lord, for He cares for us. It's easier said than done, but it's in the Word. It's in the Word to trust the Word, to grab hold of it like there is no tomorrow, really. Like to have a sense of urgency in the Word. To say, I will grab this word. It is urgent for me to grab this word. And he says, do the work of an evangelist. And that's specifically to Timothy, probably had the gift of evangelism. But, you know, to have a love for this, for souls, a love for the lost. And it's easy to say, I'm not called to Troy. I mean, that's crazy out there. You know, it's sometimes we meet some crazy people on the streets of Troy. I'm not called there. But to say, like, you know, do the work of an evangelist. And maybe just show up sometime just to know that we're not called. maybe the and then to see what God does, because what will He do? What will He do when we take the step of faith, when we do the work of an evangelist, when we do the work of a soul winner, when we step out in faith and give somebody the gospel? What will He do? It's His job. It's not our job to save souls. We can't save souls. I can't save a soul. Mark can't save a soul. Not to pinpoint Mark, but you're in the first row. So, we can't save souls. We can't. We don't go out on the streets of Troy thinking that we're going to be super evangelists and everybody's going to get saved. There's going to be a church plant, major revival like the works of Finney or D.L. Moody. We don't know. We don't know. We go because Jesus said go. That's why we go. Like, I don't feel comfortable when I'm talking to a stranger on the street. I just don't. But, you know, Jesus said it, and we do it. And we do it, and we watch God work, and God works in ways that blow our mind, and we know that it's not of us because we don't have that. We don't have the natural salesman prowess, you know, to get a crowd around us and have people fall on their knees. We don't have that. But when somebody prays, we know that it's God that does it. We know that God is leading them, that the Lord is leading them, that the words are not from us, they're from God, and that we can't take credit for it. And that's the work of an evangelist. It's amazing that God would say in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. He's called us to do the work, and then He promises to do the work for us. It's amazing. It's all grace, grace upon grace upon grace. You know, grace multiplied in 1 Peter chapter 1. Like where we're called, go into all the world preaching the gospel, making disciples. In Matthew 19, sorry, I misquoted that verse and I just want to make sure. But we're called to, in the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples. Wow, sorry, 21:19. Anyway. Talk about that afterwards, but we're called into all the to go into all the world, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world in Acts 1:8, to go and preach the gospel, and then we go and preach the gospel, and then God saves the souls. So it's not even us doing it, and then He blesses us for it. He says, "Here's a crown, here's a crown afterwards." And it's like there's nothing that we can do. We're just kind of puppets, allowing God to speak through us, allowing Him to do the work through us, and then we're getting blessed for it, and we're going to get a crown when we go to the Bema Seat. God's going to say, "Hey, awesome, here you go." It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful to even think about the grace of God concerning this, and that's all it is the grace of God. So to grab a hold of the word, you know, in closing, to go back to 2 Timothy 4, to make full proof of your ministry. To fulfill the duties of your ministry, you're speaking specifically to Timothy. So Paul, looking out for Timothy, saying, this is the time now. It's the time is now to take this seriously, to take it more seriously than he did before. And you'd think that Timothy took it pretty seriously. Raised by his mother and his grandmother, knew the word of God. Part of major church plants. I mean, like some of the churches that he was part of their planting are major churches in church history. And Paul saying, I'm charging you, I'm beseeching you, take a hold of this word and don't let go. Don't let go, because the temptation's going to be there to walk away. The temptation's going to be there to want to have our ears tickled inside of ourselves. To want to have like this subjective thought of really going on, like do your best, be the best person you can be. And really it's so counter what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches that in me dwells no good thing, but in God is all things. Or like when Jesus said, in me you can do all things, and without me you can do nothing. And nowadays, we hear the opposite. We hear, do it, just give it your best shot, and you're good. Pat you on the head, give you a participation trophy, and you're good. But I don't want my soul to be puffed up. I want the Spirit of God to work in my soul. I don't want to live according to this moral right and wrong compass. I want to see the word of God dwell richly in my heart and lead me and guide me into something deeper and something more fulfilling, where I can see my Lord at the end and he can say, wow, here's a crown. I love you. You know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And to quote Matt, Pastor Billy Norman, when he was here, who I think quoted Pastor Schaller, so double quote, but to arrive at the gates of heaven in a dune buggy with a cracked helmet saying, whew, how did I get here? You know, like, wow, that was a ride. But to do it and to know that, like, when we start putting steps forward by the faith and living by the word of God, 10 years will pass, 15 years will pass, 20 years will pass, and before you know it, like, where am I? I'm out in, I don't know, like, Azerbaijan or something. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe we're called to Azerbaijan. Maybe we're called to Malta. I don't know, but God knows. But to follow him wherever he leads to follow him, wherever his word takes me, I will follow. And I will choose the objectivity over the word of God that will correct me and guide me and teach me and teach me of God to know him. That's the call, right? To know God. And I will choose that over getting tickled and choosing to be puffed up. So Father, bless these words. God, I trust that they're of you. Lord, help us to follow you, Lord, to follow you in word. Lord, to be doers, not just hearers, God, to really fall in love with your word, to fall in love with every word, every letter, to study it, to meditate on it, God, to love it. Lord, to love it, Lord, knowing that you speak through it, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this time. Bless this night, bless the wrap and all that we do in Jesus' name. Amen.